Your payroll deadline is rapidly approaching, but you're not waking up in a cold sweat, afraid you've forgotten to pay your staff, because with QuickBooks Payroll, it's all under control. So while QuickBooks is speeding through your pay runs, calculating pension contributions, and managing your taxes all in one place, you can chill like a koala in a hammock.
Search for QuickBooks Payroll. Intro offer for advanced payroll until 15th of November 2019. Visit quickbooks.co.uk for details. QuickBooks. Backing you.
Yeah. With bars and hoops, Lamar and swoops, back alley cats, the backdoor cuts with alley oops, posting up. You on block or Mike and Booth and kick it out to one who likes to shoot. Oh yeah, then we merging them. Got 50 with a surgeon and some throwbacks like Snoop Dogg with Magic Irvin's and some more in like Master P and Dr. Irvin Blend. Or how about maybe a little Wayne speaking on Bird back then? Bars and hoops, y'all, we hitting up all courts. But now with the sports talk, next we talk all sports. Back to it. Got Jada and Jamal Croft. Haters get crossed out, crossed up across all actual facts. Points of view that you never seen from your favorite artists, like talking about Devil Green or Gerald Wallace. Whoever's on your favorite team, L. I mean on the verse and still be great on the name for B&H. Drake's opinion on Spates, one synopsis of Blake, tip on Horford's fate. The facts we giving them straight, the truth they shitting on Nate. Who sports Nate's first date, so true or you can debate on who you really done rate. Come through, it really be great, the truth, the fact like a state. AAM on Prime 8, please remember, bars and hoops, the center of the hood, make it part of your agenda.
What up, what up, what up, y'all? Bars and Hoops, Steals the Great, episode 28. You know, today's episode is going to be focused on, you know, a little bit of the NBA, you know, free agency, NBA offseason moves that were notable, you know, some summer league standouts, you know, the Golden State Warriors, and we're going to talk about some of the offseason moves that, you know, the Knicks have made and, you know, a little bit of the Carmelo Anthony drama. And also get to my special guest today, you know, Mr. Michael Ray, who's the founder of the Well Moderated Podcast, former on-air personality for The Matrix Studio, and my homie, my co-host, Zy Flair. Say what up to the people.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, man, you know, here we are, man. Just to get right to it, man, what do y'all think about everything that's been going on in the NBA free agency? As far as all the offseason moves, the signings, the money that these guys are getting. You know, James Harden just signed a big deal for $257 million.
Something crazy.
Yeah, that's definitely something crazy,
something,
man.
Crazy like that.
Yeah, the money is definitely bananas right now. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm looking at all of the moves, like, you know, Steph Curry re-signing 5 years, $201 million. KD re-signed a friendly deal, 2 years, $53 million. Paul Millsap, you know, he signed with Denver, 3 years, $90 million. Kyle Lowry re-signed with the Raptors, you know, for 3 years, $100 million. You know, Jeff Teague's with the Wolves, Taj Gibson's with the Wolves, Jimmy Butler was traded to the Wolves. But to me, I don't really think that all of these moves are going to equate to anybody really beating the Warriors. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I know for myself, I think that those moves make it more competitive. I don't see Golden State just flat out running through folks by 30 and by 40. Yeah. I understand the end result may still very well be the same, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's marginal. You know what I'm saying? It's as much as I like Golden State, one injury at a wrong time.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a wrap. You can't give, I mean, basketball more so than I think any other sport, uh-huh. you can't let marginal teams hang around because anything is subjected to happen.
And that's for sure.
A three falling out of bounds, a bad call by a ref, and you looking up at a loss.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, most of the moves, my the best moves I saw, probably, you know, this is gonna drive a lot of folks off the water. But the best moves that I feel made by anybody, mm-hmm. was the Lakers. I feel the Lakers put themselves in a position whereby they're going to be tough. Not right now.
Yeah.
But you're going to look up in 2-3 years, and I think more so than anybody, when Golden State starts to go on the downtrend,
mm-hmm.
you're going to look up and the Lakers going to be like right there. Nah, my sleeper move, was Golden State adding Swaggy P to their bench.
You know what? That's a move that a lot of people are overlooking.
Because like, now I can argue you that Golden State is almost 10 deep.
Of course.
Right? Yeah,
Livingston, Swaggy P, David West came back.
Yes, indeed.
You know what I'm saying? Those three right there, like...
They got a bench now.
Yep. They got a bench.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They got a bench that can put up numbers, and you could be the slowest plotting dude there is. If you know you're going to get the ball, and you know you're going to win 55, 60, 62 games, you do whatever you want them to do. Dudes with bad reputations over the years, what happens at the end of their careers when they went to San Antonio? Became team players because they knew the chance of walking out of here with a ring was real high. So that's what I took from free agency.
A lot of guys, chasing the rings. But you're right though. I mean, with the Lakers, they did add Brook Lopez via trade. You know, even though the center position is basically on a decline and it's basically about to be phased out. All those traditional centers like Brook Lopez dump the ball down low to get an easy bucket. I think that. That game is slowly but surely fading away.
Because it's a lot of stretch 4 and 5s now.
Exactly.
It's the low post game is in today's era. Slowly diminishing.
My guesstimation is that that's really just for probably the next 5 to 9 years.
5 to 9.
Because everything trends. In a minute, somebody will say, you know, everybody's a stretch 4.
Yes, indeed.
If I put a dude at 240, 6'9", down on the low block, nobody on any other team got anybody that can defend that. And then all of a sudden, everybody will start looking for that. And when they start looking for that, everybody in the AAU circuit and will start training dudes. Yo, man, if you go down on the low block, you could get 25, 30 touches a game.
Yes, indeed.
Remember, what makes... I hate to say this, but what made the triangle successful for dudes like Shaq and Powell is that one of those triangular points was on the low block, right?
Yeah.
On that high post corner or on that low block corner when you made the triangle shape. So you were guaranteed to get touches as opposed to a pick and roll or a motion type offense where it just kept moving and you that big man might have necessarily never seen the rock. He set a pick. Somebody slip if you're running the pick and slip or in that vein.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I say about another 5-7 years when that becomes popular, everybody will go right back to that again. It's just trends.
That's true.
It's just circular trends.
That's true.
And that's it. Because you know what? Everybody wants to shoot threes, but if you can throw it to me on the low block and I get an and one and I hit the one, that's guess what three. I just did? Man, that's a three.
That's a three.
Right?
Yeah,
so.
Indeed.
You know,
yes, indeed.
But that's my humble opinion.
That's a fact.
I think the Warriors and Cleveland, Houston, those teams led the league in 3-point percentage. That changed the dynamic of all of that. So every high-powered offense was drive to the hole, kick it out. As to where you had your traditional big man, and it was throw it down low and then work its way back out. It's no more of that. Yeah. You got the big man up now trying to shoot 15, 20 foot jumpers, trying to put the ball on the floor.
Porzingis!
Yeah. He might be one of the few that could do that because he's so light. You're not gonna throw that ball down low to him. You know, like that. So.
Yeah, he has no post game. And then you got guys like Dwight Howard who the game just passed by completely.
Oh, man.
They don't even talk about him being traded to Charlotte. He with Kemba Walker in Charlotte now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he should be dominating. The league
he
right
should
now.
Be this era's Shaq.
For real.
Easily.
Never lived up to his potential, man. Never lived up. He should have stayed in Orlando and he'd have been all right, man.
He should be this era's version of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
And a lot of dudes are not even down on a block to guard him.
Nah.
But he has still, how many years he been in his no low post game at all?
None.
Never.
At all.
None. And Barkley always bangs on him for that.
Yeah. Shaq, too. Shaq is a hater.
Shaq opened, he's not a hater. He opened my eyes and explained why. Shaq's whole thing was he played where there was all dominant centers. Who? Right? This is Shaq. Shaq saying he played Robinson, Akeem, Ewing, and et cetera. The White, came in an era where it really wasn't no dominant centers like that. Instead of you averaging 19 and 8 rebounds, you should be averaging for your body type.
24 and 15.
Yeah, shit, easy. 28 and 15, easy, 30 easy. And 15. Easy. And I used to think Shaq was a hater too, but once he explained that, once he broke that down to me, I was like, nah, he's right.
Nah, Shaq is he's a right. hater, though. Shaq hated on him because of that whole Superman thing too.
All right, well you can argue that.
Yeah.
You can argue that, but what he's saying about the White to me, I think is true.
So. That's true. That's true too, for sure.
They arguing over a logo.
they don't own. You know what I mean? For real. So, with all of that being said, like all of these moves that are being made, the most talked about team right now is the Houston Rockets. They added Chris Paul. You know, James Harden is coming off the best season of his career, MVP-like season. They added Chris Paul. They're trying to add Carmelo Anthony. Me, honestly, I don't think that Chris Paul and James Harden can work together. And if they add Carmelo to the mix, I definitely don't see it working at all. I don't see them giving Golden State a run for their money because it just looks like they're putting a bunch of individuals together. Whereas with Golden State, that was just like the perfect storm combined. KD fit into their system because he's naturally an unselfish player. He's a catch-and-shoot guy that can also take the ball, isolation, and give you buckets. And he can play in the system. That's why it worked so well. And they didn't really have any growing pains like how the Miami Heat had growing pains when they had LeBron and Wade and Bosch together. It just seemed like it was effortless with Golden State. With Houston, I don't see that working because James Harden had his best season of his career running the show, basically making all of the plays, handling the ball 90% of the time.
Yeah.
That's Chris Paul's whole career. He handled the ball 95% of the time. I don't see how those two can coexist, and I don't have faith in Mike D'Antoni to make that work. What's your thoughts on that?
I feel that I seen an interview yesterday where I was watching actually the Summer League game.
Uh-huh.
They were shown from a few days before, but Chris Paul was there with James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that, and then I watched the press conference when they introduced Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that they're on the same page. They worked it out. James Harden was one of the active dudes recruiting him over there because he wanted to move back to his natural spot.
Which is the two? Three?
The two.
Wow.
Let's see how that go. As far as Carmelo goes, if he do come over to the Rockets, You ain't get along with the coach in New York. So I don't know how that's going to work. Y'all would have to have a serious sit down talk and hash all that out before I even consider coming over there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because if y'all didn't get along in New York, what makes you think you're going to come to Houston and everything's going to be hunky-dory?
Yeah, the rumor is Mike D'Antoni don't even want him there.
Yeah, that's what it said.
They interviewed him the other day on what I think it was Mike and Mike, and he didn't give a ringing endorsement. He just was like, it's like,
because if the organization bring him there, he's basically saying I deal with it, you know. But he don't want to deal with that.
And if Melo, I don't even know why now you even want to come to Cuba. Why would you even want to leave New York? You got your wish. Phil Jackson is gone. Now you want to go because Phil Jackson left before you.
And you made a case that you wanted to stay so bad. So why when Phil leaves, all of a sudden you went up? I can understand you wanting to win, right? But you made your case. You're going through your shit with your lady right now. That might be the time where you need to stay and hash that out rather than you going to another state and she's still here and then now y'all further, you know, whatever. If it work, it work. I still don't think they're going to come with Golden State. The team that I think that's the only threat in the West to Golden State is the Spurs.
Nah, they done, man.
Nah.
They shipped them past.
Nah, Mike,
what you think,
man.
What you think about that, man?
You know what? I feel I'm going to be the only contrarian here as I usually like to be. I think that, first of all, ain't nobody coming out of the West but Golden State.
Exactly.
So if the fight here is for who's going to be second best in the West,
more victory.
Then you know what? then in my humble opinion, Melo to Houston makes the perfect amount of sense, providing dudes have come to that acquiesced mind frame.
Okay.
Like, look, my best chance to ever run with my boys is gonna be in Houston. That's number one.
Yes, sir.
So if I gotta eat a little crow, then so be it. If I look at numbers, statistically speaking, out of efficiency, some of the best efficiency Melo has ever had was playing with all-stars in a Mike D'Antoni offense. And that would have been through the Olympics.
Yes, indeed.
When he was coming up off the bench, crushing everybody.
Yes, indeed.
So now here you are with a dude that, next to LeBron, everybody has a massive amount of respect for in Chris Paul. You know what I'm saying? Massive amount of respect. There's a reason why he's, you know, player association president.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If there's anybody that can get... See, Houston's problem wasn't that Harden couldn't get off. It was that when Harden couldn't get off, nobody else could get off.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. So now you put a dude on the court that can pretty much see to it that everybody else gets off if he's not getting off.
Yeah.
Now, you throw a dude in whose game is so well-rounded that he gonna get off regardless, right? You figure from 15 feet in, he's money.
Yeah.
From 15 feet out, he's money.
Yeah.
He can turn over either shoulder.
Yeah.
Strong as hell.
Yeah.
Got a quick, not the quickest jumper, but has a quick second jump.
Yeah.
And when he needs to, can go put himself down on the low block and do something that's not popular anymore, which is score on the low block. Now I'm with my main man every night.
Who's going to get,
me the ball in a spot where I'm most efficient, playing for a coach who runs a system that pretty much gets players who are marginal, i.e. Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
One of his best statistical seasons was in a Mike D'Antoni offense.
Yes, indeed.
What's my man whose wife dry snitched on him that he had guns in the crib?
Raymond Felton.
One of Raymond Felton's theoretical best set of statistical seasons was with him in Stat.
Yeah.
Stat's best statistical season.
Yeah.
His system made. What's his name? The point guard, white dude.
Steve Nash.
Made Steve Nash. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Made Steve Nash who Steve Nash was. And under a D'Antoni system, you found that dudes like Danilo Gallinari could shoot. Uh-huh. Remember this. Under a D'Antoni system, you got the dude from Stanford who played two guard for the Knicks for like 2 years.
Landry Fields.
Landry Fields ended up in Toronto with a contract so fat for a dude who was such a scrub that he just retired. Did anybody know he retired?
Nah, he retired. Laundry, wild stuff.
Because of that system, it made the kickouts out of that system give that other tall, skinny white dude who was just shooting threes from the left side. His name escapes me at the moment.
Steve Novak.
Yeah, yeah.
Discount double check.
So through a D'Antoni system, it makes marginal players appear more than they are.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Now you put above margin players who have some kind of motivation. Uh-huh. Melo goes to Houston. Melo knows this is it.
Yeah.
In terms of where he is in his career.
Yeah, yes,
after this, he's Captain Jack.
He's 33.
Yeah, he's done.
Right? This is it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is why I think under those principles, it has the possibility to be successful. He'd be better off staying in the East.
Yes, indeed.
At least to get to a finals.
Yes,
that's what I think.
But
it's less work. Also,
if you want to call a Western Conference Finals and getting losing 4-2, your NBA Finals, then
might not win two.
And I've been to Houston, so
I love
you. Can have a good time in Houston.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this a family show or not, but you can have a good time in Houston.
Yeah, not where I've been in Houston. Yeah. It's rated R.
I love Houston, man.
You know what it is? He ran that same formula with Nash's Stat When he came to New York, he used that with Raymond Felton and Stat. They ran the high screen pick and roll. Yeah. That got Raymond Felton some of his best numbers that season. What, I think it was 16 a game.
Got him talking All-Star game.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Felton was looking like Walt Clyde Frazier for a minute.
Some nights he would get 20, and they were eating, and then when Stat got that knee, when the knee started acting up, they brought Melo over, and then the whole shit collapsed. So Stat ain't never been right. I mean, the best he been with Melo is when they went to the playoffs until he bust the glass with his hand, and then...
How about tweaking his back on the layup line in that Boston
series? Yeah.
Killed us then. Terrible. He hasn't been right since. Now he's in Israel bullying these young little guys out there in Israel trying to come back
Leave
to
them boys alone.
See, he getting paid out there.
Right, man. Don't he co-own the team or something like that?
Yeah, he co-owns the team in Israel. So he left the NBA, thought about the money route, tried to go out there, rejuvenate his career.
People getting paid overseas now.
Yeah, I mean, the money is there. Well, look, he had money.
Oh, yeah, the Knicks gave him $100 million. Knicks gave him $100 million. And then the crazy part with that was, the Suns offered him $100 million too, but they had a stipulation in this contract where that knee give out, we get you off like a football contract. The Knicks gave him a straight 100, whether you healthy or not. Here you go.
And that's why people bash Dolan, man. But
I mean, it worked though, because you think Melo would have came over without Stat?
The Knicks are back. I don't think so. But and that's why I don't blame Dolan wholeheartedly. Like, you got most fans, but he needs to sell the team. This, that, and the third. Listen, man. At the end of the day, I don't know anybody that just wants to piss away money just to piss away money. He's trying to fix the problem. His problem is he's just giving the money to the wrong people. And he's too loyal.
$7 billion franchise as per Forbes.
Yeah. And that's crazy.
They're worth more than the Cowboys?
And they're running incompetent. Yeah. Yes.
I heard the Cowboys was number one in sports.
Man, you just a Cowboy fan.
Maybe saying it was in sports. They said they was the highest. I'm
got a smartphone. Look it up, man. You know what I'm saying?
I know what I read, man.
You know what I mean?
There's a degree of finger pointing that you can't put on Dolan. You know, the biggest finger point most people put on owners is that the dude won't write the check.
He writes the check.
Dolan write the check.
Yes.
Don't matter who you are.
Lovely
check. Dolan write the check.
Yes. That's the problem. So, he writes too big of a check to the wrong people.
It's the wrong people.
That's the problem. So now you're getting hit with the taxes on top of that.
But he's willing to pay it.
Yeah. What's that David Griffin exposed the Garden. And he exposed Dolan for his loyalty to his people. David Griffin wanted to come in and clean house. Dolan was like, no.
Yeah.
Allen Houston is my man.
Yeah, he wanted to get rid of
my guy.
Steve Mills is my guy. Mark Walkington is my guy.
Exactly, Mark Walkington.
Now, let me say this in the GM search. You know what I found to be kind of sad? If anybody deserved an opportunity to GM the Knicks, it would have been Mark Walkington.
Well, he's like a special advisor.
He is, but bring him down. Let him GM the squad. I mean, at least interview him to GM the squad. Now, maybe he feels like, look, I'm good and cozy where I am.
Yeah.
I'm out of the line of fire. Uh-huh.
He was the main reason for Melo coming here.
That's right. So that's why the other thing I gotta, on the socio-political perspective.
Let's go.
That I gotta respect Dolan for. Go find me another franchise in sports. Never mind the NBA. In sports. As a matter of fact, go find me a Fortune 500 company in business where the top two pieces in the infrastructure are African-American.
Oh, preach.
Yeah,
Dolan has done that.
It's not two wrongs don't make a right. I'm not trying to question any of the L's. But at a time where you telling me that Or African Americans are trying to prove to people that, you know what I'm saying, we're capable of X, Y, and Z. Go show me another Fortune 500 company that got two blacks running the joint.
Can't find it.
That's a rare commodity.
Can't find it.
So for that reason alone, I give Dolan like a 6% pass.
Yeah.
Because he obviously don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I think you can do the job, then so be it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that even goes back to when, if I'm correct in my statistical findings, the last time that occurred in sports was the Knicks again, when Steve Mills and Isaiah were both in the upper echelon.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's hard, man. That's hard. It's hard to find that.
You're
go find that.
Nah,
so
you're right.
There's a part of me, there's a part of me, no matter how bad a product they put out on the floor, always pulls for them for that reason alone.
That's, yo. And you know, nobody has ever pointed out that angle. And with the climate of the world now, and like you said, these companies, it's hard to find that.
Go find
it's
that.
It's rare. You won't find that. You're right.
You ain't finding that nowhere.
Yeah, you're right.
And I like what this dude's bringing to the table. I like some of the stuff he's already put out there that he want to do. And I got the feeling that Mills is going to pretty much give him that free reign to rock and roll.
Scott Perry.
Yeah, Scott Perry.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that he's going to give him the free reign to rock and roll away. He kind of wants the rock and roll.
Yeah.
And again, I'll take an argument that I heard from an interview that I found compelling, which was that, to their credit, you know, the dude from that they interviewed for the GM position from Cleveland,
David Griffin.
David Griffin wanted a clean house.
Yeah,
yeah. To their credit,
they said
that scouting staff that they have at the Knicks is not a half bad scouting staff.
No, that's a fact,
right? So if you figure who that scouting staff has found over the years.
Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about, what, the Knicks find players and then let them go. Well, look at some of the dudes that they did find.
Yeah.
That came from that scouting staff.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, to the degree he does have something there to work with. But, you know, the rest will be interesting to see.
Nah, it would be. And it's funny that you say that. And it's like, you know, I've been dying to call on the sports talk radio all day, but I've been driving and, you know, every time I dial, I end up, you know, getting caught up with something else. But a lot of people are bashing the Knicks, like, why would they want to make the playoffs? Like, they have a good enough roster to make the playoffs and be respectable. And them making the playoffs isn't necessarily a bad thing, because even though we know they're not going to win the NBA championship, it doesn't matter. We had two back-to-back lottery picks, KP and now Frank Ntilikina. These are two franchise future players that you're going to build your, that's the cornerstone of the franchise. Going to the playoffs and getting them that experience early in their career is only a win-win and a plus for them.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Did any of you guys see this point guard play? Like highlights?
I haven't seen. I just seen like video clips of him play.
What was your take
trust,
on that?
I got to trust the pros. I mean, obviously they saw something in him that says they can play in the NBA.
He's been playing with Roman, exactly.
Yes, indeed. My man Nick Black in the corner. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I know. They call him the, what they say, the next Rick Rubio.
I don't see Rubio in this game.
I don't see Rubio in this game. I tell you, I've watched two or three of his games. What I found to be impressive was, I think Fran Fraschilla said that Frank Ntilikina will never be an all-star.
Yes.
Frank Ntilikina will be a solid starter in your league.
Yes,
he's long with about a 7-foot wingspan.
Yes, oh, wow.
He's not fast, but has a deceptive quickness.
Yep.
But with a long stride, right, which makes getting around a man relatively simple, and he likes to play deep.
Yes,
that's
and is smart. And then, as my man Black said, he been playing with grown men.
Yes,
from the jump.
Yes,
and not little grown men, not 16 playing with 19.
Yeah,
he's 16, 17, 18
playing with
24, 25, 26, and dudes who came from the States.
Yeah.
To play.
Yeah.
That's who he's been playing. That's who he cut his teeth with.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Mike. You got the 8th pick. Your turn to select. in this draft that just passed.
Dennis Smith Jr. is available.
Who would you select?
Malik Monk is available, and Frank Ntilikina King is available.
Me personally, knowing what their needs have been for at least the past 10 years,
exactly,
I probably would have took Dennis Smith Jr. Oh. Right?
Yeah.
Malik Monk is Kemba Walker 2.0.
Yep.
So that would have been instant number. Eddie House. Instant numbers.
Yep.
But if you wanted to take the safe pick, Ntilikina would have been, in theory, the safe pick. Remember, here's the similarity in Ntilikina and their second round pick, Damian Dotson.
I like him.
Damian Dotson played 4 years in college.
Yes,
at 23 years old, Damian Dotson is a grown man.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You can never go wrong with a grown man.
Yes.
And that's why he's been successful in summer league.
Yes.
What makes Ntilikina successful is the same principle minus the age. Though he's not a grown man chronologically, all he's done is play with grown men.
His game is mature.
And to be fair to him, and not be fair at the same time, you know who else was successful in the NBA having played with grown men all their damn life?
Who's that? KB?
Nah. Go to San Antonio. Look at Tony Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Spent his whole formative years playing with nothing but grown. Now, we all played ball in the park.
Yes, indeed.
It was one thing to play with our age bracket.
Oh, yeah.
It was another thing to think you was going to go shoot and play in the full court with the OGs. Jay,
trust me. The game was a lot different when you 16, 17 playing with your friends. And then let's just say the older guys picked you up. Now, you ain't getting... it's a whole nother league now.
My man Small said,
you're tougher. The dudes are stronger.
The game isn't even the same.
It's nowhere near it.
It slows down.
Yeah, they're smarter.
Yeah.
So they already know the tricks and trades.
You're
using tricks
you use playing with the stuff you watched from the OGs.
Yeah.
You in them courts in the back of the park now.
Yep. Yep.
Dropping 50.
Yep.
You look like Earl of Pearl. You dropping 50. No, and Cotton Pickett, well, if I go down there to that center court and play full, I ain't getting a shot off.
They ain't letting me shoot.
But I'm coming back here. I'm dropping 50. Dudes is buying me quarter waters and cookies. I'm abusing dudes. Abusing them.
And God help you, if you score once, they're going to look at you like you ain't coming in here with that shit no more.
That was it. That was the one. That was your one. You ever got set? You ever caught a pick? You ever caught a screen from an OG?
Oh God!
And your ears rang for like 2 days.
Especially if you don't see it coming and you run into it.
Yeah, set that same pick in the backcourt. Kids is leaving.
That's a fact.
They leaving. That's they don't like you. They want to jump you and they leaving. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They got their mothers coming to tell you to stop. Don't hurt their baby like that.
You be ready to curse everybody out because they like, why you ain't calling the screen out? You running to something, I ain't even looking. And you like, shh.
Man.
You got to learn the hard way, man. But you know what? That type of way makes it better for you at a younger age.
He's 6'5", he's a little under 200 pounds, he got decent court vision, and again, somebody who gets disrespected through this whole process is Jeff Hornacek. I really think Ntilikina has the potential to be something solid. Now, to Jeff Hornacek, this is what's unfair.
Okay.
Everybody blasts Hornacek.
Yeah.
Hornacek has been given the rubber hose in the booty for the off and on for the last 5 years, right? In Phoenix, he started out that first year. The Suns were bad.
Yeah. They took all his players from him.
He got to work with his players.
Yeah.
That second year, the only curse the Suns had was that they were in the West.
That's a fact.
That 48-49 win team, he had your boy who went to Miami to run the point, Goran Dragic.
He made
Dragic look like a beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was running a two-guard backcourt with Dragic and Eric Bledsoe, right? And when Eric Bledsoe ain't on a crickety knee, Eric Bledsoe is a beast, right? You had Isaiah Thomas getting up off the bench.
Yeah.
You had 9.5 fingers, Gerald Wallace. What's Gerald's last name?
Nah, you talking about Gerald Green.
Gerald Green. Yeah. He got Gerald Green. Yeah. I mean, they will run. He got the dysfunctional twins.
Yeah, oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Got they the dysfunctional twins. They can't function without each other. Yeah. And then wanted to shoot the manager because their manager was tapping their moms. Oh, right? So you throw all of that. Oh, I mean, he had a squad. Yeah, right, definitely. 48 wins. Yeah. He was running high pick and roll, running side pick and roll.
In the West.
He let dudes score. Yeah. Dudes agreed to play D because they knew they was gonna get the ball.
Yeah,
he was letting them run. He ran a 10-man rotation. Dudes wasn't really tired. Everybody got a chance to touch the rock. Yes, the third year in that deal, they gave every last one of his players away then fired him.
Yeah.
For what reason?
You're
right.
Right. So he comes to New York. Mm-hmm. He got a little reclamation project.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, this dude wants him to run a system that he ain't never ran versus a system he did run that he had some success in.
Yes,
if they'd have kept them players together, the third best team in the West might be the Phoenix Suns.
Remember, the Knicks started off good.
Yeah.
So Phil Jackson
started pressing that trine.
He brought a coach. He brought a coach in and didn't let the coach coach.
Nah.
He should have just came down and ran that himself.
Because listen, he was running high pick and roll with a dude whose IQ is probably only a pick and roll, which is Derrick Rose.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
And then off the bench, you have my man from California who always wanted to play in New York, Brandon Jennings.
Yeah.
He's letting them throw wraparound passes. Mm-hmm. He letting them throw bounce passes in the lane.
Yeah.
They was moving.
Yeah.
And now you want to press. You want to emasculate your coach in front of your players to run a system that absolutely is fundamentally incorrect for the players that you have. Yep.
And when you do that, how you expect your players to respect the coach?
And the dudes who stand by Phil the most, his old roommate, Clyde Frazier,
Rambis,
has gone on record, Earl of Pearl Monroe, have gone on record to say, look, we don't blame Melo.
Yep.
We don't feel that Phil has given Melo what he needs.
That's a fact.
To be successful. So because of that, I'm really against all the Chuck Hornacek argument. Yeah. He needs the opportunity. If Hornacek,
if Jeff
gets 48 wins in the next 3 years out of that roster, he'll get a parade.
That's a fact.
And that's what's unfair. He warrants that one.
But you know what ended up being the end result? Bye, Felicia.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
Of course.
But look at it this way. They get, no matter how it wins, the East is so weak right now, even worse right now.
Yeah.
You may get a team that get in there with 35 wins, 39
That's
wins,
happen.
That,
yeah.
that make really the AFC, and they be like, yeah, we made the playoffs. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I won't even watch the Eastern Conference part of the playoffs.
But this is where I go back to. It's not necessarily a bad thing if the Knicks makes the playoffs. Because if they added Tim Hardaway Jr. is much better than he was when he left here.
Actually,
they
it is.
Yeah, they didn't give him a chance here. And
actually,
Phil got rid of him.
He
didn't like him.
Actually, it is. Because the Knicks make the playoffs. They make the AFC.
Okay.
No matter how many wins, right? That puts y'all far back in the draft.
It doesn't matter.
What do y'all picks look like for
the
next 2 years?
But this is what I'm saying to you. Like, look, we already have a bright player in Willie Hernan Gomez, who nobody saw coming. He's already, like, he's looking like a young Marc Gasol. You know what I mean? He's played well. In the minutes that he's gotten, he's averaging a double-double.
What's y'all cap look like? Your money?
The cap is all right. I mean, it's not.
I mean, you're not anticipating Melo being there.
Nah.
So that's sort of...
Damn. If you start winning, people gonna want to come.
Of course.
Remember,
it's a win-win situation.
If you start winning, people gonna want
to
come.
Absolutely. I went to the games.
I
went to the games during when they had the 15-win season, and the Garden was still packed.
It's always,
it was still sold out.
Players gonna look like, yo, they about winning.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to. They about winning, and the East is weak.
Yes.
This could be easy.
Exactly.
And who wants to be another Philadelphia, man? Philadelphia's been getting number one picks for the past 10 years.
Philly gonna be crazy.
That's off potential. We don't know that. We don't know what Ben Simmons is gonna be.
Absolutely.
We don't know if Markel Fultz is gonna work with
him. On paper now,
we don't know if Embiid is gonna stay healthy.
Like Minnesota.
He hasn't been healthy his whole career. His short career, he's been in the league 3 years, and he's been injured all 3 years.
All 3 years.
So he might end up being another Greg Oden. You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully.
So we're just speculating because they're young and they have these big names. But
I mean, you
may not equate
Cleveland,
to
they Boston,
yep.
Washington, Toronto.
That's it.
Maybe. That's the E.
That's it.
And Washington and Toronto, I could juxtapose, you know, one for the other. I just put it in that order.
Exactly.
One could easily be three. One could easily be four.
Imagine
Charlotte is going to be there.
Charlotte is going to be there. But I'm saying after those four that I mentioned, everybody else in terms of talent, kind of. So you could see, like brother said, you could see 36, 38
and
wins.
And you in the playoffs.
Making you a seven seed.
Yeah.
Imagine, East is just that bad.
Imagine the All-Star game. It's so many people that ain't going to be on the Western team because they're so loaded.
That's why.
And then you're going to have people like Deion Waiters that could possibly be the starting two guard.
And this is why the NBA is
in the Eastern Conference, you know?
They're going to change the structure.
I think so.
They're going to change the structure. They're just going to take
The best 16
players. They're gonna do it.
They're not gonna do it.
They're gonna have to do it.
It was brought to the desk.
I know they said it, but no.
Even
no,
the playoff structure. They're gonna end up changing soon.
Well, look at this way. Think about it. Uh-huh. They got feedback from fans like us watching the game, and you got 40-something win teams. No, they ain't gonna do shit. They go in there, they get swept. Like this past playoffs was trash. People get swept left and right. These dudes ran through the East, lost one game, and these dudes ran through the West and lost one game.
Look at the team.
Yeah.
You're right. And it's
Golden State and Cleveland, they were stacked.
But you know what? You know what we're also underestimating? The rookies that's coming in today. These may be impact players this season. We don't know
yet. If you're a rookie and you in the East, you got a chance to get off.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a rookie two guard in the East, a small forward, you got a chance to get your rock candy off. Mm-hmm. There's no Paul George in the East. Yeah. And
no Butler.
No Butler in the East.
And then the combo's there, though.
You know what I'm saying? A dude like him.
Yeah. But he is small.
The Greek freak.
And he's a free agent next
year. That's
who
the Knicks are hoping that Nila Kenya can turn into. The Greek freak. That's what they're hoping that he can turn into. They hope that Nila Kenya can turn into the Greek freak on the defensive end.
Maybe. If he long like that,
yeah.
He's got a seven foot wingspan. You poking dude. You rip sixing dudes all day.
Yeah,
I take that.
Trying to get past him.
You don't need that.
Trying to get past him is hard. And if you do make it to the rim, that hand might come over your head and play handball.
Listen,
with
fundamentally sound and can play D.
Yeah.
He'll stay in this league. He'll be like a Leandro Barbosa. He'll be 41, 42,
like
still
said,
in the league.
He's been playing with grown men.
Yeah.
A kid, 15,
14, 15, 16.
Yeah, yeah.
They say he turned pro.
Yeah.
Playing with your grown men over there.
Yeah.
You've been playing with grown men. What you just say? Grown man game is different.
Grown man game is way different.
Him, Parker.
Boris Diaw.
Thabo Sefolosha.
Yao Ming been playing with grown men since he was 14, exactly. but excluding the foot injuries. But those overseas, those dudes are playing with grown men. Yeah. Here, you're not allowed to. And then they got the 1 year college rule.
And
now
they're fundamentally sound.
Yeah,
coming from overseas.
Yeah.
So then you ain't gotta teach them about playing the angle on the pick and roll or pick and pop. Or, you know what I'm saying? You ain't gotta do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know they come in here fundamentally sound. And at the end of the day, fundamentals never break down.
Talent.
I remember watching Joe Dumars. Joe Dumars gave an interview the year the Pistons drafted Allen Houston and Lindsey Hunter.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he said in the interview, I like these young guys. I like what they bring to the table. They'll be great when they figure out angles. Mm. And the angles come from fundamentals.
Oh, yeah. So, like you're saying, they're great players in what they do, but a lot of these players don't know the fundamentals. Now you have a guy like Tim Duncan that comes into the league that's strictly fundamental.
Four years in school.
Exactly.
4 years, which is underestimated nowadays.
Now, did you hear that report?
Barry Stornwell is going
to
be a problem.
Did you hear that report? They're trying to withdraw the one-year rule now.
Yeah.
To bring back high school players to come in there.
Oh, God.
That'd be crazy. Kwame Brown.
Detrimental to the league, man. That's detrimental to
Kwame Brown.
To the league.
Yeah, man. But, man, let's switch gears for a second, man. You know, I want to kind of, you know, first and foremost, man, I want to say thank you, Mike, for even coming out, man, and kicking it with us today, man. But I want to kind of give our listeners an opportunity to get a little better understanding of who you are, what you've done in the game thus far, and, you know, kind of what you're into now, man. So just to give people a little brief understanding of who you are, like, kind of like, where did you start? How did you start your career in radio?
Well, first of all, let me make sure I tell you thank you, brother, for the opportunity to just come and sit down, break a little bread with the brothers, watch a little power and whatnot. enjoy the time with the brothers. Iron sharpens iron. And it's always good to sit down with some brothers and throw it back and forth. I mean,
yes, indeed.
For myself, you know, just take it back to the beginning. You know, from the same St. Albans, Springfield Gardens area as yourself. And,
yes, indeed.
You know, a few years older.
Yes,
but,
indeed.
But, you know what I'm saying, from the same hood.
No question.
What happened was to stay out of trouble and for, you know, reasons of, you know, spiritual religious convictions and faith and all of that.
Yeah.
My grandparents had me in the church at a young age. And, mm-hmm. you know, the church that we attended over on Godbroad Boulevard, Bethel Tabernacle, mm-hmm. was one of the first black churches to have a television department.
Oh, word.
Back in 83, 84,
wow. 85. Okay.
And because of some of the people who have gone there as parishioners over the years, when Bethel wrote the check, they didn't write the check for a camcorder. They wrote the check for television studio grade equipment.
Wow.
Bethel was recording on 3/4-inch. You know, videotape.
Wow.
Bethel was recording with, you know, Ikigami cameras, JVC cameras.
Back then.
Wow. So the stuff that I got involved with back then, and they had an audio department. Mm-hmm. And when they wrote the check wrote the check for the TV equipment, it wasn't but 2 years later, they wrote a check for the audio equipment.
Oh, wow.
So by 88, 89, Bethel was recording church services. Yeah, they were recording on cassette, but they were recording church services with 16 tracks.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? They had 16 tracks.
Yeah.
And then when I went away to college and came back in like 92 for, you know, to visit family, Bethel had, you know, reel-to-reel. Bethel had DAC. Bethel had, Bethel had 48 tracks.
Wow.
Bethel had compression and gate.
What?
And tube preamps.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bethel had mics hanging from the ceiling.
Wow.
And so that's what I learned under.
Okay.
So when I left to go to college, I went away to go to college for radio and television technology, which would have allowed me to fix the equipment that we worked on.
Okay.
But I didn't like math, and I was lazy.
Wow.
So I quickly got rid of them algebra classes and added public speaking one.
Wow.
And public speaking one and English. It wasn't English lit.
Uh-huh.
It was English for composition.
Uh-huh.
And I went from doing a lot of TV stuff in college to doing a lot of radio stuff in college.
Okay.
And realized I could find my niche. Like, you always look for your niche in life.
Uh-huh.
That was mine. So now I'm doing college radio in a town called Auburn, New York. Auburn is 30 minutes west of Syracuse, 45 minutes east of Rochester.
Sticks. Woo. 8 hours away.
You
45 minutes north of Ithaca.
Oh.
You where the snowstorms were at.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Listen, I can tell you stories of cooking, because I learned to cook, and I'd crack my window, I'd put a pot of macaroni and cheese in the window to let it cool off, go take a shower, come back, and the whole top of the pot is ice.
Damn.
Pot of macaroni and cheese, fresh off the stove.
Wow.
Right? Man. You're talking 6 to 8 inches of snow in an hour, and then the sky clears, the stars come out, and you start hearing this Rice Krispie sound. And you'd be like, what is that? Yeah. That's the temperature dropping so fast that the snow is freezing.
Wow.
Right? So in 3 hours, you got a foot of snow that's hard enough for me at that time at 240 pounds to walk on the snow and not leave an imprint in the snow.
Yeah, you was walking.
Right?
That's crazy. You was walking on top of the snow.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So now I'm doing college radio in a town.
What was the content of the college radio like?
That time it was hip hop.
So you was on Stretching Bobbito.
I was Stretching Bobbito without Stretching Bobbito, right?
That's what's up.
So I had my guys. Uh-huh. I was on a show. There was another show behind me. Uh-huh. Basically, Saturdays from like 3 p.m. to midnight, all we played was hip hop, right?
Yes, indeed.
So the next closest urban city to me is Syracuse. Mm. So to end my collegiate time at my school, you had to do an internship. Mm-hmm. So they were like, look, we'll lean you towards one of the country music stations. You can go over here, you go over there. One of my boys had went up to Syracuse and found Syracuse's version of 98.7 KISS.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was their version, but it was an AM station.
Okay.
It was AM.
That played hip hop?
1050 WOLF. Mm. It was all R&B and hip hop.
Oh, wow.
That was it. Mm-hmm. And like most most urban contemporary formatted stations, gospel on Sunday.
Got you.
Right?
Got you.
So I was there, but here's the difference. They weren't making no money. So an intern wasn't really treated like an intern. You were treated like an employee.
Wow.
Right? You were treated like a per diem employee. Really? So, and the way guys got paid was you sold advertising on your show. So if you didn't get no advertisers on your show, you working for free. Wow. Well, you know what? Here's Captain working for free because I'm here to get grades for school, right?
So
dudes would call me, yo, man, I'm drinking with my girl. You want to come work for me tonight? Absolutely, brother. I take that 30-minute ride, get in the building. Yeah. I'm playing slow jams from 11 to 2, and then it goes to the format. But after a while, what they would do is when they gave me my rundown, they leave gaps in the rundown, which were like, you do whatever you want to do. Just make sure you play these songs at this time and you play these commercials at this time.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's like the breaks.
Right.
It's like that'll show the breaks.
So now, here I am. Yeah. Here I am. And you know, I can say it now. Payola was the bomb. Right? Payola was the bomb. Right? So, I mean, it would be like, okay.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut, Domino's. Domino's isn't advertising with us.
Yeah.
The gas station ain't advertising with us. But I would roll up in there and be like, you know what? It's AM 1050 WOLF. I want to give a shout out to my man Carl over at Exxon Mobil on South Salina. That's my guy. I went there and got my gas before I came in. I told him I'd give him a shout out and hope his daughter feels better.
Oh, yeah, smart.
Right?
Smart.
Here come a phone call 30 minutes later. What time you get off? I get off at 6 in the morning. Come by here and fill your tank up and leave, right?
Wow.
No questions asked.
Wow. No doubt.
Or here's 5 large pizzas show up at the door from Domino's at 1 o'clock in the morning and ain't nobody here but me.
No doubt.
Or here come the phone calls because I'm playing slow jams in the middle of the night. We ain't never heard of you before. What time you get off?
And he got the voice too.
Right? Like, I'm fresh out of New York City.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I spread my wings a little bit, but as my man Black will contest, you know, I was raised by my grandparents, so they were kind of tight-fisted on a brother getting out and about. So now, I'm a four, right, Black?
Yeah.
So now, I'm 4.5 hours away, and there ain't nobody to handcuff. Oh, yo, Ma, where you live at?
Yeah.
Right?
I'll take that hour job.
So, that's how that rolled out. So, but what happened from that, from the people that I met during that period of time, like I met Miss Jones before she became Miss Jones, right?
Yeah,
because she's Syracuse University alumni, right? I met this rap group that Rough House Records bought through to do a record signing that nobody said was gonna really be anything. You didn't think they were gonna be big.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are with a Haitian dude, a chick, and another dude.
Fugees.
Who they become? They became the Fugees.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So here I am, meeting folks that I would have never fathomed having met.
History.
Wow. Right? So now I'm meeting them. But again, like we talked about playing in the big field and then going back to your peers. When I go back to the college and do college radio, all of a sudden my college radio game was tight. hype.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'm coming from the big market. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, not to kill all your time, but you know what I'm saying? So,
this
that had rolled, you know what I'm saying? That had rolled. I had did that. My mother had called me to tell me, look, I need you to come home. This is what it is. This is what's going on at home. I need you to come back home. Mm. So I came back home, left some opportunities on the table to come home, sleep on the couch for a couple years. But that desire never really died, right? Mm. So I've always been a student. So during that time, I said, one day this will pay off. So I start watching it, because I'm on the couch and I got no job.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the news strong. But I'm not watching the news for what's on the news. I'm watching the news for the way the news is done.
Yeah.
Right? I'm watching shows like 60 Minutes.
How it's formatted.
Yeah, how it's formatted. Okay. I'm watching shows that aren't on anymore that were some of the most successful shows in media in regards to African Americans.
Mm.
Tony Brown's Journal.
Mm.
I'm watching Like It Is with Gil Noble.
Yes, okay? Indeed.
Right? I'm watching Classic. 60 Minutes for when they'll put on episodes with Ed Bradley. In one of his segments, right?
Yeah.
So time transpires. I take an EMT class, become an EMT. Didn't like it because I needed a little more authority. Became a paramedic. I'm sailing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working in a hospital in Manhattan that's no longer in existence. One of the guys comes downstairs. We start talking hip hop. And you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I remember Park Jams. I remember the one or two times I went to the Baisley Park Jams.
Yes, indeed.
You know what I'm saying? I remember the 40 Park Park Jams.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend that lived in the project, so I couldn't really go to the jam, but I would go to his house and sit in the window
and
watch the jam all day. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Dudes who remember watching the basketball game and the barbecue with about 50 grand duct tape to the backboard. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I go back to that
indeed.
Era. Yep. Right?
Yep.
So, you know, me and my guy, we talking. He says, look, I want to start an internet radio show. And internet radio was just starting to bud at the time. Mm-hmm. You weren't reading anything about it if you read the popular, you know, magazines and newspapers that, you know, deal with tech stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just starting to bud, right?
Yeah.
So my man was at that time, if you were really balling, you were on 1.FM. 1.FM is still to this day the largest conglomerate of internet radio programs.
Wow.
Right? Because what it is it's a bunch of different radio networks all with the 1.FM line at the end of their name. So if you were in the hip hop, you went to 1.FM Jams. If you were in the gospel, you were in the praise and worship 1.FM.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So if you go to their website, it's like a directory.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah.
So, if, you know what I'm saying? So, my boy had a guy who was pre-recording shows. Shout out to my man DWI from DSN Network.
Yes, shout out to DSN.
There was a you know, he was doing a show, you know what I'm saying, the old way, where they were recording it on like Cakewalk. Recording it on Cakewalk.
Yeah.
So, he had planned a show called Hip Hop 101.
Yeah.
And Hip Hop 101 was going to be a show where they interviewed all the OGs of hip hop.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So that's exactly what happened. So the way it was structured is my man Charlie went and got him a host.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the dude's name, but he claims to have the largest collection of Park tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and
Park Jams.
Park Jams.
Wow.
Right?
From different
from different parks all around the city.
Wow.
Going back to 79.
Wow. Damn.
Right? Yeah. So you name the jam,
this dude
supposedly had it, right?
Wow.
Breakout and Baron on the set.
I feel bad because I didn't come up in that era, man.
I'm like, all right.
Still in diapers.
Cool beans. Not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm with it. So he's like, look, we're going to do a show. And I want you there. I want you part of the show. But I want you to go to the studio to hang out with the dude who owns the studio. His name is DWI. And get a feeling for how he does things.
Yes, indeed.
So, all right, so I start hanging out. We kicking. I don't mean to be long with the story.
Nah,
I'm just
listen,
trying to
man,
give you the full,
we building.
I'm
we
trying
building.
To give you the full grasp.
Nah,
right?
Give the listeners what they need to hear,
so,
man. This is history.
I'm there, and I'm rocking out with D. I'm getting to know D.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he has different shows that he's recording.
Mm-hmm.
So, whenever a show would be short a guest or a host ain't show up, he'd be like, yo, Mike, why don't y'all put my man Mike on the panel and let him talk? So by this time I have been out of the media realm, the game, for I moved back home in 96, and now we're talking 2004.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 8 years I have been out of the loop. So I got 8 years of rust to work off.
No question.
So now we start doing hip-hop 101. First day we do hip-hop 101, they're like, be to the studio by 8 o'clock.
Yes,
I get off work at 7, I change my clothes, I roll in the studio. Mm-hmm. The old DSN, which used to be up on Boston Road between Fish and Seymour, upstairs in a building in a commercial space that used to be one of the most well-known ballrooms in the city and used to do hip-hop way back in the day, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, bet. I walk in the door, my man Charlie greets me.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yo, I want you to meet somebody. And I'm trying not to be a kid, because at this moment I'm being a child.
Yeah.
I'm standing there. You ain't got to introduce me to this dude. Yo, L.A. Sunshine. Pleasure to meet
Sunshine.
You.
Wow.
Sitting next to L.A. Sunshine.
Yep.
Cool Mo D. So I meet Mo D and Sunshine.
How you
my
like
first
me
time
now?
There.
Wow.
So my job was to just take them to break.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
They had a host. I'm just taking them to break.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there just in awe. I don't know how to respond. I mean, this is Mo D. This is Rick.
Before you get bum rush.
They was mean.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm kicking it with them. Show's over. We do another show. No particular. We do another show with my man Rodney C.
Uh-huh.
Rodney C's real name is Rodney Stone. And if Stone sounds familiar, it's because his ex-wife is Angie Stone.
Oh. Wow.
But the first rap group to ever go on tour with a rock group, Rodney C from Double Trouble, from the TV movie Wild Style, went on tour Debbie Harry and Blondie.
Damn.
So now
I'm sitting here with this dude, and this dude is cool money.
Yeah.
Like, we're conversing, like I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get my game back. I'm getting my game back. I'm getting stronger.
Yeah.
I'm doing more than just taking him to break.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie calls me the day before our next interview and is like, yo, I fired that dude. I don't want him as the host no more.
Wow.
So I'm like, wow, Charlie, what you gonna do about a host? He's like, I got one. I was like, all right, who you got come in? He's like, no, I ain't got nobody coming. I got you.
Wow.
This is your
show. That's a good look.
This is your show.
Good look.
And, oh, by the way, the next show, you're gonna be surprised. Wait till you show up.
Good look.
So I show up at the studio for the next show. I'm standing next to this dude named Cool Kyle, the Star Child.
Mm-hmm.
Cool Kyle didn't make any records. Cool Kyle was sort of like Dot and Spank G from 40. Well known. Had been everywhere. Had toured, but never made a record.
Never made a record. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep,
right?
Yep.
So, Cool Kyle.
Sounds like Cool Kyle.
Cool Kyle made one record that was played on BLS, and he had a partner named Billy Bill. So it was Cool Kyle and Billy Bill. Cool Kyle and Billy Bill was supposed to end up being what Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde were, but they never got the exposure to Andre Harrell and his old partner got, right? So they were just doing tours, making you know, chicken money along the way.
Yeah.
But it was me, him, and they were like, we're waiting for Reg. So I'm like, well, who's Reg? They're like, Reg, you'll meet Reg. So Reg comes in. Dude works for MTA. I'm kicking it with him. It's Reggie Reg from the Crash Crew.
Wow, Crash Crew.
So now I'm sitting here,
word.
And the Crash Crew's the only negative to the Crash Crew.
Uh-huh.
Reggie Reg, Bistro, Shoe B, EK Mike Z.
Uh-huh.
The only problem that they had is they came along at the wrong time.
Wow.
Because the groups in front of them, with all the notoriety,
Mike,
was
what it is.
Flash,
nah,
Flash,
jeans,
and
though.
The Furious Five.
Yep.
Right? You had the Treacherous Three.
Yes.
Get that.
And then you had the Fearless Four.
Yep.
Right? So now you had those three in front of them.
Yeah.
Crash Crew had hits.
Yeah.
Google Rocking on the Radio. That was the Crash Crew's joint.
Yeah.
That jam was hot to that day.
That
might not be today, but to that time period, my man Black could tell you, when you heard Reggie Reg is rocking on your radio, when you heard that come on, you were like, oh, but you know what? They were in front of the Fearless Four.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was hard. You know what I'm saying? Grandmaster Kaz and them.
Yeah.
You know, Cold Crush.
Yeah.
Those were the groups in front of you. So, for whatever reason, Reggie and him never really caught on. Yeah. But by this time, I done caught my flow to where now dudes is hearing about Hip Hop 101 and want to come to the show.
That's what's up.
Because the host was crushing them. Like, I had a way of making dudes, you know what I'm saying, who were non-consequential to the basic realm by today's standards.
Yeah.
Yo, man, listen, you the brick.
Yes,
you know
indeed.
What I'm saying?
Yes,
I can't
indeed.
Walk on the street if it's not paved.
Yes, indeed.
You dudes are the pavement
yes, indeed.
To whom and which I'm walking on.
Yes,
well,
indeed.
Lo and behold, my next interview, my very next interview, they're like, Mike, take your day off of work, get you some rest.
Yeah.
I got Africa Bambaataa coming
Bambaataa.
Through.
Bambaataa.
Right? So, I get to the studio. Who comes walking in the door with his entourage?
Who's that?
Africa
Bambaataa.
So now I'm talking to Bam.
Yeah.
Like
Zulu Nation.
Zulu and the whole
nine. Shout out to the Zulu Nation.
Shout out to Red Baron, who's the religious advisor to the Zulu Nation.
Yes, indeed.
Just yo, big shout. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed.
So
yes,
I'm interviewing
indeed.
Bam.
Yeah.
4 weeks later, Kool Herc comes through the door.
Kool Herc.
I'm interviewing Kool Herc
Kool
for
Herc.
Two reasons. Because at that time, they were getting ready to gentrify Cedar and Sedgwick.
Okay.
They had private developers that the city was ready to sell those buildings because by real estate standards, those buildings
in
sit
the
over the East Highway.
Yeah.
They sit over the East River.
Yep.
And a building over a river, no matter how dirty the river, is considered waterfront housing.
Yes, indeed. Right. Yep. Yep.
So
look
they,
at that.
I got Herc there. I got Herc's sister there. Mm-hmm. I got some old woman who lived in the building since they opened it in the early 70s.
Yeah.
I got people from all types of private organizations that fight gentrification. They're there. So that was my introduction to socioeconomic issues.
Yes.
So from that point, my interview skills had just
shot through the roof.
Just shot through the roof.
Yeah.
I laid dormant for a couple of years, got sick. A lot of things had transpired. I'd done a lot of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I started to get back on my feet. I was doing some internet-based talk shows, Mentality, which was just the world's perspective from a bunch of black men, upwardly mobile, intelligent, a four-hour program that had got so popular. I had folks out west tuning in on their computers from work.
Wow.
We were from 9-12. We were from 12-4, which is from 9-1 for them, right? So they were tuned in. They'd log in. They'd send email and text message. I had folks on the east going to lunch, coming back from lunch, tuned into me, rocking out with me, calling in, emailing, texting. I mean, yo, we had it on lock for about a year. You know, then life happens.
Yeah.
And then I'm laying on my bed. I'm like, a friend of mine shoots me a text message, says, yo, 2017, let's make it pop.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? Enough is enough. It's time to make it pop again.
No question.
And lo and behold, you now have what is rapidly becoming a very successful platform, which is the Well Moderated Podcast.
Yes, indeed. Please explain to people what your Well Moderated Podcast
is. The Well Moderated Podcast is a podcast that is really just a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Being a student of media, both from an educational perspective and just from a life perspective, if you want to support any agenda, you start through media. You want to make black people seem like gorillas and monkeys and savages, then everything you put in media must portray them as just that.
Yes, indeed.
Right? So when you do that, the one thing you will have to eliminate is a conversation. Because if I have a conversation, then a conversation can bring doubt to the purported image that you are so putting on TV. Well, you know what? I don't understand how black people can be savages and gorillas when, well, Dad, I go to the office and work with Steels, and Steels is intelligent, Steels is articulate, Steels is his own man, Steels is nothing what I see on TV.
Yes, indeed.
So in order to support your images, you have to, it's two phased, but one phase is you must eliminate conversation. So the whole purpose of the Well Moderated Podcast was to return conversation. So it's not really an interview, although I do have, you know, formatted questions for each guest, but I don't ask those questions. If we was in the barbershop, if we were at the airport, if we were at the train station and struck up a conversation,
it's a basic conversation.
It's just a basic conversation. And then like you leave with a different perspective than you came in with earlier. I've had people tell me, hey, Mike, man, you know what? I never really thought about it that way. Or I never really knew that African Americans had that going for them. Yes, I never knew. Thank you, brother, for a conversation.
Yes, indeed.
It's crazy,
indeed.
Right?
Nah, it's
it's real. It's real.
So from that, I was like, you know what? That's what I'm gonna start. Now, my nickname, or the microphone name given to me over the years, was Mike the Moderator.
Mike the Moderator.
Right. So the well moderated podcast is just a spin off of Mike the Moderator. But I thought about it. I did 3 months worth of due diligence for people that don't know. You know what I'm saying? Well, they wouldn't. But I'm on dialysis, right? My kidney. I got sick and my kidney stopped working.
Okay.
So to do my due diligence for the podcast, I use my dialysis time. So I'm sitting in a chair with two needles that are large enough to blow up balloons with, in one arm, a laptop in my lap, phone in the other arm, Bluetooth in my ear, headphones on the other ear, doing all my due diligence and my research and putting the word out that this is what I'm doing. And once I put it out that this is what I'm doing, everything just started to flow. It's amazing how blessings come your way.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? I needed a logo. I got a coworker. His daughter just graduated college for graphic art. She did the logo. I needed photos. One of my guys came through with the photos.
Yes, indeed.
I have a video. I have a 30-second video promo for the Well Moderated podcast that was done. That the dude charged me a fraction of what it is because he was just so happy to see me doing something that they've been waiting for me to do for at least the past 7 years.
That's a good look.
Right? But as someone once told me, I had a conversation one time with a guy named Ruben Mark. And y'all smart folks can Google Ruben Mark. Ruben Mark was once upon a time the CEO of Time Warner. Left Time Warner when Alan Parsons came in, if I'm following the timeline correctly, and went to become the CEO of Colgate Palmolive, the toothpaste, toothbrush people, South America. And then from there became the CEO of Colgate Palmolive worldwide. I met him one time. He got ill. He was one of my patients. I'm you know, a 20-year paramedic. And every time, you know, I took him to the hospital, and every time I come back, I'd strike up a conversation with him just to pick his brain. And he was listed in Forbes magazine one time as the last good guy in business. And the tools that he gave me in our brief conversations have stuck with me till this day. He would tell me stuff like, if you want to prove to the people who are around you that you are who you say you are, do things that remind them that you are who you say you are. How would he do that? He would write a check every month, and all the toiletry items that Colgate Palmolive sells, he would buy for his home. But he wouldn't take them like most CEOs do. He would write a check and pay for them. So the people in billing would see his name come through on a check and would have a different respect for him because he would buy the items that he sold, not just take the items that he sold. He was like, you have a responsibility to the people that you work with to remind them that you are only a few steps up the ladder than them. There's nothing stopping them from being where you are. And if the stock market falls in the wrong way, there's nothing that stops you from being where they are. I never forgot that. That's 2004.
Wow.
Here we are, 13 years later, I can close my eyes and hear him saying that to me. So he reminded me of the importance of going back to get the people who make you successful.
Yes, sir.
Whether they literally make you successful or their presence makes you successful. So the first episode of the Well Moderated Podcast was recorded with individuals to whom and which are responsible for me being where I am. Yeah. Minus one person. There was a young lady there from Get In Line Radio, girl named my girl D Essence. I loved the vibe when I met her, so I invited her through. But my man Dr. Jason Ortiz, who spent 10 years in prison and now got a PhD and is in, you know, build business consultants and public health and all of that. He was there. Another young lady that I know that came up in the same ranks I did, just came up before me. She was there, my girl Mocha Marie, and of course I had to go get my man Stills.
I was definitely there.
So that was the well-moderated podcast. And the funny thing, if I could add this, is that the plan was some interviews and some monologues. I wanted to touch everything before I got into politics. Once you get into politics, that's pretty much a wrap. You're stuck there. Once you're there, that's it. So I tried to stay away from that. But for right now. So I'm like, all right, fair enough. Cool beans. We could do this.
Yeah.
But the interviews that we've been doing with the Well Moderated Podcast have become so successful that I'm in a position where folks are asking me, when's the next one? Who are you talking to next? And you know you've struck a chord when the people who are asking you don't look nothing like you. Right? So I'm a firm believer that you have responsibilities. And you have a responsibility to pay attention to who's listening to you.
Yes, indeed.
And if you don't want to entertain them, you have a responsibility to educate them. It's either or. It's not both. So either I'm going to do some shucking and jiving and some yowza bossing, or I'm going to get up here and I'm going to tap away on the billboard.
Yes, indeed.
And we're going to on the chalkboard, and we're going to go through some lessons. I'm going to give you some lessons.
Yes, indeed.
So that's pretty much where we've gotten, you know, the email responses, the text message responses, the downloads. You know, I had somebody tell me, hey, man, everybody in my office love your show. So I ran to see what my stats were. I'm like, what do you mean they love my show? I only see this. No. What happens is I upload you, and then I turn the speakers up loud, and everybody in my office is listening to you. And there's about 15 of us on my side of the office. And oh, by the way, I'm the only person of color over here. And they all love your show.
Wow.
You know what? If I leave here tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? I've left something behind.
Yes, indeed.
And I always preach that that should be every man's motto, is that you should have a desire to leave something behind.
Yes, indeed.
So
yes, indeed.
Document what you brought to society.
Yes, indeed.
So we have the Well Moderated Podcast, and the stuff that's lined up for the Well Moderated Podcast is just crazy, man. It brings tears to my eyes to see what, you know what I'm saying, has been able to come about, you know, by some humility and, you know what I'm saying, you know, my man Stills came through,
man,
right?
Man, listen, man, I appreciated that look, man. I learned a lot, man, on that visit. That was my first panel. Now, I was nervous, but I definitely felt the vibe and I felt the love that was there, man, and inspired me to kind of want to tighten my ship up, you know what I'm saying?
After
I
left the next mayor of New York.
I know, I'm supposed to be the next mayor, man, but you know, everything happens for a reason, man. Who knows? I don't know what's on my radar as of yet, man. You know?
Listen, what I would tell you is just enjoy the ride.
Yes, indeed.
Enjoy the ride.
Definitely.
But understand, this is one thing that was imparted to me some years ago, is that when you have success on a platform, whatever that platform is, when you have a level of sustained success, even if it's only 3 days, understand that though you appreciate that success, you're supposed to be there.
Yes, indeed.
If you weren't supposed to be there,
you would not have
the level of success, no matter how sustained it is. I've sat back, and aside from the Well Moderated Podcast, Dude, I've been doing streamings and interviews. Mm-hmm. I've ghostwritten. I have two articles at a magazine published the years. Two music magazine articles that were published. I've ghostwritten some stuff for people. I've counseled folks. I've advised folks. Yeah. I've across the gambit. Yeah, yeah. So now here it is, 12, 15 years later.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. Question. I'm grateful for being here.
Yes, indeed.
But you have to understand that this is where I'm supposed to
be. Absolutely.
No, and when you're supposed to be somewhere, your responsibilities change.
Yes, indeed.
It's not to get here. It's to stay here.
Yes, indeed.
So while I'm here, I have a responsibility to stay here. And how do I stay here? I stay here by the means in which that got me here.
Yes,
so if what got me here was by doing my due diligence, by reading stuff nobody else was reading, by interviewing people didn't want to interview, by asking questions people didn't want to ask, by answering questions that people didn't expect me to answer that they asked, by following that timeline and that ledger, I have a responsibility to maintain that and pass it on.
No question.
That's how you respect the individual.
No,
I don't care who the individual is. I don't have to respect your politics, but there's a part of you that has to respect an individual's wherewithal, an individual's testicular fortitude to withstand the hits that are thrown at you and keep pressing forward.
Absolutely.
That's a responsibility.
No question.
If you don't want to take that responsibility, don't get on the platform.
No question.
Don't get on the platform. How many How many dudes made records that were like, if I'd have known all this other stuff was involved, I'd have never
got involved. Yep. Nah, that's a fact. You're right. He's absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying? So I took that as a lesson and I ran with that. And you know, by the grace of God, January 1st, you may very well be seeing the Well Moderated podcast either on your television set or on a downloadable service called the 950 Lounge.
Yes,
I'm definitely
basically
turn,
a subscription service.
No question.
And you'll be able to buy episodes.
No question.
We're in the works on working that out now, but that's looking at that's going to come in the first of the year.
God willing, man.
You got my support, brother.
You living in New York City area in the very near future, if you standing waiting for the bus under one of them bus shelters, you will be seeing a Well-Moderated podcast poster in the bus shelter.
That's what's up, yeah. That's
you got my
up.
Support,
no question.
Man. Definitely.
My God.
I apologize if I took up too much time.
Man, listen,
I was a little long-winded.
You my homie, man.
I don't get out much.
The big homie at that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
I appreciate you even coming down.
Strong,
that's why I had to bring Nick Black in with us, man. Furred up. I had to bring him in, man.
Support
and I appreciate
it, man.
I appreciate you even coming through, dropping jewels and sharing your experiences with us.
Listen,
man.
I am a fan of the Bars and Hoops brand. I promote the Bars and Hoops brand in conversation as much as I can.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, obviously, brother, you know I can't promote it as much as I do. Well, moderated.
I listen,
but I'm an honest dude.
It's so good. It's all love.
I'm an honest dude.
It's all love at the end of the day.
But, you know what I'm saying? I support that brand. I try to stay away from talking. And that's a luxury that you've afforded me, because I respect your brand.
Yes, indeed.
If I didn't respect your brand,
you wouldn't even be here.
Exactly.
Number one, I wouldn't be here.
No,
but or maybe, because for those who don't know, Steels is like top chef, barbecue chef, right? grilling and chilling from the Food Network, right? So, but aside from that, if I felt that I needed, see, the reason there's a Well-Moderated podcast is because there's a lack of a conversation.
Yeah.
So I try to create conversations on multiple platforms, but Bars and Hoops satisfies my necessity of what I feel needs to be in place, so I don't have to do that. I don't have to get on the Well-Moderated podcast, talk bars or hoops, because there's already a Bars and Hoops who more than satisfies my criteria.
Yes,
no question.
Right? So I can stay away from that. There's no need to duplicate services,
question.
Right? You play ball. We'll put this in the bars form, in a hoops format.
Yes, sir.
If I shoot and you shoot, and Black shoot, and Brother Zay shoot, then somebody don't need to shoot.
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm going to go down here. I'm going to bag me up four chicks because they're going to like my behind-the-back passes. They're going to like my hoop-de-hoop passes, my looky-loos, and my throw-it-off-the-backboard, and my rebounds where I scream like most Scurry used to scream for UNLV. Assist, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm going to have 6 points, but I'm going to have like 19 dimes.
Yes, get them assists,
you know what I'm saying? Somebody got to do that. So since Bars and Hoops, in my opinion, for multiple reasons, meets a demographic, there's no need for me to reach to that demographic in that way.
And I respect it, man.
Yes, they may want to reach... I may want to reach that demographic for something else to provide them balance. Mm-hmm. But you provide me balance the way I provide you balance.
No question.
Right?
No question.
So, you know what I'm saying? We managed to keep it right here.
No question.
Now, if you want to get social with it, every other ethnic group does that.
No question.
Of course.
Right?
No question.
Of course.
Right? Yep. So, if I go in a neighborhood, if I go in a neighborhood of another ethnicity, one person of that ethnicity may own the corner store. One person may own the butcher shop. One person own the jewelry store.
No question.
Right? The butcher ain't selling jewelry. And the grocery store ain't selling meat. So, or like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, or he gets his meat from the butcher shop.
No question.
Right? So you keep it all in the community.
Yeah.
The community is serviced by each and every one of us not stepping on the other one's toes,
no question,
but being brotherly about it and saying, yo, we can all get this paid.
It's about allowing everybody to eat.
Facts.
Everybody.
Listen, man, just say you wanna come here and kick it with your friends. Nah. Different platform.
But
I know,
nah,
I know Mike, what he's saying, but
he's good.
Mike
he's good.
Is a good dude.
Intelligent.
Man.
Yeah, intelligent been, brother.
He been grabbing me by the collar, man, and bringing me along, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, he been
40 years?
Yeah.
40 years.
Yeah.
Kindergarten.
You can't replace that.
Definitely can't.
I know this brother since seventh grade. And he's been the same and kept it real with me ever since then.
That's how you promote sustainability.
Yeah,
right? It's all about sustainability.
No question.
Right? So if one falters, yes, you pick the other one up. But you don't wait for that next man to falter.
Yeah.
You support that man while he's successful.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like me and a homie of mine used to go to strip clubs together, right? We be piss broke. Right? Me and my man Speedbay. Used to go to strip club together. Shout out to my man Ron Carpe from Carpe New York Fashion. Right? So, you know, we'd be at the strip club. Chicks used to think we was balling. I had 20 in singles. He had 20 in singles. So we'd be under the table like, well, together we got $40.
So we
set aside a couple dollars for throwaway bucks.
Yeah.
Throwaway dollars was for the muggly chicks that just would not go away unless you gave them a dollar.
Yeah.
So go on over there. Yeah, don't say nothing about it. Take that.
It's always some ugly chicks in the strip.
So it's like that. So, you know, I want to say thank you, man, for not just giving me the opportunity to come through and kick it with the Bars and Hoops family, but just for putting together Bars and Hoops.
Man, listen, man, I appreciate it, Mike, man, for real, man. I enjoy your presence, man. I enjoy the knowledge you always share, the jewels you always drop, man. It's definitely appreciated, man, for real. So for anybody that wants to follow up and follow the Well Moderated Podcast, where should they go?
They should go to tunein.com. You can download the TuneIn app, or you don't have to. And you can find it, the Well Moderated Podcast, all one word. You can go to iTunes and find the Well Moderated Podcast. It's over there. You can go to SoundCloud for however much longer SoundCloud is in business.
Yeah, I heard.
They're gonna go out.
Yeah, they about to go out. They got like 2 months worth of operating budget left.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And after that, they going down.
So I'm gonna do what you said. Tune in. Don't worry.
I got another media server for you, brother. Definitely. I got you.
No question.
I got you.
No question. No
I got
question.
You.
No question.
And, you know, all the social medias, you know, Instagram, The Well Moderated Podcast, Facebook, The Well Moderated Podcast, Twitter. And if you want to drop me a line, it's The Well Moderated Podcast at gmail.com. BlackOwnedBusiness.com.
No doubt, man. So, people, y'all need to go out there, support that, man. Black-owned, man.
Definitely.
Black-owned businesses, man. Black-owned outlets, man. You get a lot of food for thought at the Well-Moderated Podcast. You already know what you get here. You're getting bars and hoops, sports and music over here. Zy, Mike, my man Black, I appreciate y'all coming out today, man.
Yes, sir.
So, bars and hoops, signing off. Peace.
Peace. Peace.
Fall in love with the brand new iPhone 11 at Tesco Mobile.
Only you.
Take amazing photos with Apple's best ever ultra-wide lens camera. You can get the iPhone 11 for just $37.75 a month with no additional upfront costs. What's not to love? Search Tesco Mobile or visit us in store. Tesco Mobile. Every little helps.
36-month credit agreement, rolling monthly usage contract. Subject to status, phase policy applies. See tescomobile.com/terms.
Your payroll deadline is rapidly approaching, but you're not waking up in a cold sweat, afraid you've forgotten to pay your staff, because with QuickBooks Payroll, it's all under control. So while QuickBooks is speeding through your pay runs, calculating pension contributions, and managing your taxes all in one place, you can chill like a koala in a hammock.
Search for QuickBooks Payroll. Intro offer for advanced payroll until 15th of November 2019. Visit quickbooks.co.uk for details. QuickBooks. Backing you.